In the name of the glorious Trinity, Father and Son and Holy Spirit, forever. Amen. Glory be to the everlasting mercies which sent you to us, O Christ, the light of the world and the life of all. Give us wisdom by your law and enlighten our impulses by your knowledge. Sanctify our souls by your truth and grant that we may be obedient to your words and may fulfill your commandments at every hour. O you who enlightens the rational with the knowledge of your greatness, do enlighten, O my Lord, our thoughts, that we may meditate upon your holy and divine scriptures at all times, O Lord of all, Father and Son and Holy Spirit forever. Amen. Glory be to the mercies which sent Christ our Lord to us. Amen. Hello, everybody. Receive the peace, the compassion, the love, the tranquility of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. And I pray that you're all well, protected under the healing, protecting, guiding, comforting hand of our Lord God. Great to be with you. And again, one more time, I want to begin by thanking you all for your feedback. Many text me, many I think write, I think they email or somehow they get their message across. I'm not the producer, remember, it's the producers are Stephen and Adrena, so they keep me up to date. But thank you so much, and God bless you. Let God be glorified. Please remember that what we do, we always do for the glory of God and the salvation of souls. And thank you for your suggestions of topics, what you would like us to discuss. And I know that many of you enjoy the interviews, you want to call them, or the, you know, when there's someone else with me, Q&As. You know, we may do a Q&A one day. You can send us your questions that you have, and they may not be presented as a topic per se, but we can certainly. Through the grace of God and the mediation of the Holy Spirit, answer the questions that we receive. In any case, every week, God's glorious mercies and grace is fulfilled. We come together and we discuss the Holy Scriptures. Wherever you may be, may these words give you the comfort, the healing, the consolation, the answers that you have been searching for. Again, by the grace of God. Today we're going to speak on a topic. It's going to be too serious. When I told Stephen, he goes, ooh. It's going to be in two parts, because sometimes I see that it's very important to really get the message across, and it's going to be difficult to just present it, looking at it from one point of view, or, you know, when there is two parts to the topic or the verse that we discuss. So today's topic is yoking with unbelievers. And God willing, next Monday we'll be speaking about yoking with believers. So let's begin this by the grace of God. What is a yoke? Yoking obviously comes from the word yoke. Yoke is a wooden cross piece that is fastened over the necks of two animals and attached to the plow. I think it's also called a bullock. Attached to the plow or a cart that they are to pull. So when the yoke is placed on the necks of the two animals, mainly bulls or even horses, the animals are to work and to strive together. In the Aramaic version, the scripture that we'll be reading, where it pertains to yoking with unbelievers, the Aramaic word is bnei zoga, lahavitun bnei zoga. Bnei means children, zoga means partners, couple. So do not be children of couple, for example, or do not couple with the unbelievers, which could refer to marriages, obviously, and some sort of a partnership or a relationship. And as far as the unbelievers in the Holy Scriptures is concerned, it solely pertains to non-Christians, those who haven't received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and have not been baptized in the name of the Holy Trinity and have not confessed the Lord to be their Savior. Christians, good or evil, there are bad Christians, there are good Christians. I mean, you know, I always say you're either a Christian or you're not a Christian. Let me rephrase it. There are committed Christians, there are Christians who are on fire for Christ, and there are lukewarm Christians, which is very dangerous because Christ states that he will spew us out. The lukewarm Christians will be spewed out, as we read in the book of Revelation. In any case, Christians, good or, you know, committed or non-committed, faithful, you know, lukewarm, are referred to as brothers. When we read in the Holy Scriptures, in particular in the epistles of St. Paul, where he addresses the brothers, these are the Christians, brothers and sisters, obviously, because he's addressing his letters or his epistles to the churches who have received Jesus Christ. And in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus himself, praise be to his name, says, if your brother sins against you, if your brother sins against you, and he instructs us what we do. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, Paul writes, my brethren, if any of you should be overtaken by a fault, you who are in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, should restore him in the spirit of humility. See, my brethren. So the believers are referred to as brethren, and the non-believers here, Christians, are referred to as brethren, and the non-believers are the Gentiles. So in this program, let's concentrate on the outsiders, the non-believers, the non-Christ Christians or believers, the atheists, the worshippers of God without, not by, not through Jesus Christ. You know, there are many gods, and the one and true God is known through Jesus Christ. Worshippers of gods made by hand. Notice I said gods. So we're not going to concentrate on the children of God or the believers. We're talking about the non-believers. And according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 in the Scriptures, who are the children of God? Those who by faith have received Jesus Christ. For you are all the children of God by faith in Jesus the Messiah. So one can be a child of God, one can be my brother or my sister by faith in Jesus Christ, to whom only, and I'll emphasize and stress, only Balchud Achji, God twice speaks, God the Father, and says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am pleased. Listen to him. Matthew 3:17, Mark 9:3. So the Holy Scriptures are instructing us not to have partnership with the unbelievers. Now, let me from this point stress, not to hate the unbelievers, not to despise the unbelievers, not to mistreat the unbelievers, not to disrespect the unbelievers, not to kill or to oppress them, no. But we should not have a relationship with the unbelievers according to the Scriptures. And don't jump the gun, hold on to your seats and just calm down. We're going to go through this. But remembering, there is no hatred, there is no disrespect, but we cannot commingle with the unbelievers. But the Scriptures tell us that we should be continually praying for those who know not Jesus Christ, who have not received and believed the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. We must be praying for them, and we must be at all times prepared, ready to introduce them to Jesus Christ, to witness to them. See, I say this, you know, so that we don't we have, don't have this understanding that the unbelievers we should totally avoid and have nothing completely, no peace, no, you know, we got to wage war on the unbelievers. That is not what Christ has taught, beloved. In the Christian faith, nothing but love, peace, harmony, although non-compromising, is also instructed, but in love, in peace, and harmony. In the first epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 27, listen to what he's saying. And if one of the Gentiles, meaning the non-Jews, or today the non-Christians, invites you, and you are willing, or you desire to go to his or her invitation, eat whatever is before you. He's talking about food that is offered to pagans, to idols. Eat whatever is before you without any inquiry on account of conscience. So don't totally draw the line and cut relationship and not speak, no communication, because then how are you going to introduce Jesus Christ to someone who does not know? You know, St. Paul says in the book of Hebrews, how will they believe if they've not heard of him? How will they hear of him if they are not preached to? How will they preach if they are not sent by the church? Okay? So if a Gentile invites you, Paul is not saying, don't you dare step a foot in the house. Actually, Paul is even more severe, and we're going to look at this next week, more severe with the Christians who do not live a Christian life. He says you should not even eat with these people. And we're going to talk about this. But with the Gentiles who probably know not of Christ, don't have an understanding, haven't been witnessed to, preached to, invites you, go to the to that house in love, in peace, not to compromise, never to compromise, and eat the food. But then Paul goes on to say that, but if you're invited and you're told that this food is for idols, you should not eat it. Okay, but we're not talking about that. And in the diaconate litany, Qom Shapir, we say, let us all stand up as it is right. It's called a litany or a proclamation. This is during the holy feasts. The Shamasha, the deacon, proclaims, O Savior of all men. He's talking about Jesus Christ. And especially of them that believe in you, we beseech you. Salvation is for every person, the believer, the non-believer, the pagan, the righteous. Salvation is for all. But especially who attains salvation are those who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's therefore the taking. But who receives it is those who take it. Those who believe in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, there may be non-believers listening to this broadcast at this very moment, and I bid you welcome, and I pray that the Lord will, the Heavenly Father, through whom only we are brought to Jesus Christ, I pray that the Holy Spirit will move you, that you will enlighten your mind and your thoughts, that you may draw near to the light of the world, who is Jesus Christ, to be taken out of the darkness. Praise be to his name. St. Paul also writes in his first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 5, verses 9 to 10. Listen to this. I have written to you in a letter not to mix with fornicators. Now, let me tell you from now, this is talking about the believers, but we're going to talk about that next week. In any case, I have written to you in a letter not to mix with fornicators, but I am not talking about the fornicators who are in this world. Those who are not of the family of the children of God. Or about the greedy, or about extortioners, or about idol worshippers. Otherwise, you would be obligated to depart from this world. So again, we are not to hate unbelievers, and we are not to despise and have nothing to do. But the only thing that we need to have with unbelievers is to introduce our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, I'm going to answer the question, but why? Love has no boundary. We are all children of God. Well, we have to look at the scriptures and see how that refutes. The scriptures refutes these philosophies, these justification to prevent and to avoid fulfilling the scriptures when we are instructed not to yoke with the unbelievers. Now, as I said, here Paul actually implies to the believers, and the rest of the verse, if you continue to read. This episode is part one. We'll talk about the believers in our next episode. So let's tackle the why question. But why? Love has no boundaries. It cuts both ways. There you go, Anita. Love has no boundaries. Well, let's tackle the why question first, and then the issue of love. Paul sets it nice and simple and gives us a reason. St. Paul, in his second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 6, verses 14 to 16, explains why. What co-mixture, this is the Pshutta version, what co-mixture has the light with darkness? There's no relationship. Actually, you know, they say that there is no darkness. It's the absence of light. What co-mixture has the light with darkness? We are the children of light. What concord, what agreement, what harmony has the Messiah Christ with Satan? When Christ was being tempted for 40 days and 40 nights, only three temptations have been recorded. He was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. Did Christ sit down after 5 o'clock? The Satan clocks off. The Christ clocks off, and they sit and converse and, you know, have a relationship. There is no relationship whatsoever with Christ and with Satan. Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God, which we are, with that of demons? For you all, children of God, believers, are the temple of the living God. Our bodies are the temple of the living God, the Holy Spirit. As it is said, I will dwell among them. When your parents brought you at an infant age and you were baptized. All right, we'll talk about infant baptisms. Let's not jump the gun. We'll talk about that. But at an infant age, you were brought to the church, your parents being your guardians, your sponsors. Well, I'm sorry, no, your guardians and those who are to make the decisions for you, and you were baptized in the holy vessel of baptism. Three times you're immersed in water in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Your temple received the Holy Spirit. That body received the Holy Spirit. Some say, well, how can children receive the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit cannot work through children. Please don't limit the power of the Holy Spirit. That's blasphemy. It's blasphemy when you limit God, when you limit the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit to our understanding. Because I want to ask, what moved those suckling babies to cry out, Hosanna? It was the Holy Spirit. So we, our bodies, have received the Holy Spirit. We are the temples of the living God. And as I said, we are all children of the light, children of the day. We are not children of the night, neither children of darkness. 1 Thessalonians 5, 5. You know, it's like seeing a nun and a prostitute commonly, listen to my words, commonly and casually commingling. Notice I said commonly and casually, not implying intentionally, purposefully, with a vision and a goal, possibly to rescue, to save, and to bring light to life through Jesus Christ, to restore. No. But if it's commonly and casually and compromisingly, well, you know what, this is a child of God, and who am I to judge? No, we do not judge, beloved. We do not judge of our own accord. We judge according to the judgment of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ through the scriptures. You know, Jesus says, do not judge. But if you want to judge, judge righteously. And what is right are the words of God, which the church for 2021 years has used as the base of the canons, the scriptures. Oh, but we are all children of God, some may be saying. We're all children of God. Well, as much as I'd love to agree emotionally and, you know, feeling good, and I don't believe it's right. As much as I'd like to do this, well, I can't, because I'll be a hypocrite. Then I will not be preaching the true scriptures. Scriptures refute that statement. In Galatians 3:26, we are children of God through our faith in Jesus Christ. So let's reverse that. If we do not have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, are we then still the children of God? No. Yes, we are all God's creation, God's amazing handiwork, God's amazing wisdom. We are all God's creation, but called to salvation, which means the adoption as children, through God's the only begotten Son, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. But love has no boundaries, Rabbi. Love is blind. How can love be blind? I think love is not blind. I mean, you know, and when we speak about love, we have to ascertain, we have to make a distinction. Is it the true love we're talking about? Is it the love that we are to give to the God, the true God, known only through his Son, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ? Is it the love that was portrayed and taught and presented to mankind by Jesus Christ, who revealed to us the true God? That's a question we need to ask. But what if someone, you love someone with all your heart? You know, I meet someone and I love this person, and there is so much love in the heart. So much love in the heart. We're talking about Christians not yoking with non-Christians, Christians not yoking, or believers with unbelievers. And I think I've presented plenty of scriptures. But what if I love someone with all my heart? Well, the first requirement of the great commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And when you love, it means you are faithful, you are caring, you are compassionate. When you love, you obey, but you do not compromise. You cannot compromise. Let me give you an example of the issues we have within marriages sometimes. And you know, sometimes I'm quite explicit, and I say it as it is. So, he who has ears, let him hear, and he who does not like to hear these things, let him not hear. We have husbands and wives, couples who have issues in their marriages. And you know, I'm not going to mention any names, so don't even wait for that. And this is not gossip, this is generally speaking. We have marital problems, and I can't put a percentage to it, but there are many times where the intimacy of a husband and wife, which is blessed by God, at times it has been misused. For example, the husband or the wife will say, well, you know what, Rabbi, what my partner expects for me when it comes to intimacy, I can't. I just can't offer that. I can't provide that because it's not within me. And then the other partner will say, well, where is love? Love has some limitations. Love has respect. Love has honor. Love has reverence. And I'm going to say this, where there is true, genuine love that is bound by Christ's love, even if in a relationship between a husband and a wife, which is the same relationship as the church and Christ, when there is love, then, and I'm sorry to say, the husband should not see his wife as an object to do whatever he pleases when it comes to intimacy. No, there has got to be agreement, because in love there is agreement, there is harmony. So when we love God with all our hearts, and let's stop that, all our heart, well, the first thing that comes in my heart is the love of God, which means obedience, harmony, respect, reverence. And God is saying to me, as he did to the Israelites, that your love should not, well, I shouldn't say your love, you should not mingle or be yoked with an unbeliever who hasn't received me through my son, Jesus Christ. Do you see the point I'm trying to make? You know, this is how, we don't need to go deeper than this. This is how serious we need to be with our faith. Not because today's society and the norm and Hollywood and liberalism and capitalism and isms, all these, you know. No. We look at our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Scriptures that he has left for us. So if we truly love the Lord with all my heart, and I love the Lord with all my heart, and I'm, excuse me, I want to have a relationship, I want to have a partnership with someone, well then when I know that that person does not have the love of God through Jesus Christ, now, no despising, no murdering, no giving up, no writing off, well, maybe the first thing that I need to do is before I fall into that deep love where I'll begin to compromise Jesus Christ, maybe I need to stop and think and say, well, you know what? My first mission, maybe God's putting me here, is to introduce, to save this soul. Even, you know, when many people come when they want to be married and we speak about baptism, what have you, and I say, listen, baptism is not only because I want to bless you, I'm not baptizing you because to permit you to marry your partner. Even in a 1 or 2 months' time, you come back and say, you know what, Father, don't worry about baptism because we're not getting married. No, I'll still pursue that because we're talking about the soul, the salvation of the soul. So if you truly love someone and, you know, I was swept off my feet, I truly have emotions and I have love for this person, the first thing you need to do is save the soul. Regardless whether this relationship will work out, to save the soul and be obedient to God. John 14:15, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. So before you let your heart speak and move you, your emotions, your feelings, be sure that your heart is spoken to and moved by God through the Holy Spirit. Let me quote it again, and I should copyright this. Before you let your heart speak and move you, be sure that you hear, your heart is spoken to and moved by God through the Holy Spirit. Don't compromise. We are not permitted, we should not dare compromise the truth, the sacrifice of Christ. Don't exchange the love of God through Jesus Christ, his son, on the cross, for you and the entire world, for the love of one who does not believe, does not worship and does not obey God through his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes unto my Father but me. Not marriage, not Valentine's Day, not 10 long stem roses and chocolates and teddy bears and my heart is overfilled with love. Jesus is the truth. He is the love. Jesus instructs and warns in Matthew 10:37, He that loves father, the most treasured person on earth, father, mother, the most loved and respected and honored person on earth, more than me, is not worthy of me. He that loves son and daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He's talking about father and mother, son and daughter. How about when you love someone more than God? And in particular, the unbelievers. We're going to take care of the believers next week. We're going to give it to ourselves next program. But this is what the scriptures are telling us. Father, mother, son, daughter. Not the knight in shining armor that we're waiting for. Not the blonde hair and blue eyes that we're waiting for. No, he's talking about flesh and blood. If we love more than Jesus Christ, we are not worthy. Do you know why? Because he loved you and I more than he loved himself. He laid down his life for you and I. And we can't compromise this because, oh, I feel love. Now, we've got to be very careful. Again, I'm not implying that no conversation is to take place at all with non-believers. You know, St. Paul says, if that's the case, we should be taken out of this world. We should be, all Christians are going to go to Mars, and we're going to all live on Mars, or Jupiter, or Pluto, or... No, let's invent a new one. Let's discover a new planet. Anyway, no, that's not what the scriptures are saying. But we have to be alert. Stand firm. 1 Corinthians 6:13. Be alert and stand firm in the faith. Be valiant, be strong, not to compromise, but to always share. Share the love of Jesus Christ with the unbelievers. Understand the circumstances of the unbelievers. Just because the circumstances have been difficult in one's life, but that does not justify not receiving the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the only communication, you want to call it, the only relationship, partnership between a believer and a non-believer should be based on the vision that the believer wants to draw near to the unbeliever so that he or she can be drawn closer to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is what the scriptures are teaching us. So next week or next program, we're going to talk about the believers and see what Paul is saying about a believer, a Christian, who is lukewarm or is a stumbling block to another Christian, be it in a relationship of a boyfriend and girlfriend or a husband and wife, or in a family. We've had a lot of cases where the wife has been quite spiritual, but the husband has been nothing but a stumbling block, or vice versa. But we'll discuss that, and I hope that we truly honor and treasure and know the value of what it means to be a Christian, what it means to have received the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, and what it actually means to be called the children of God, not the creation of God. So the children of God are brothers and sisters. And that's why many times when I greet people, I actually say, good afternoon, good evening, good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ, and friends. See, friendship. There's no animosity, but there is no compromise as well. And I hope that I've touched up on what you wanted to hear, but not me, but the Holy Spirit. And let us at all times, beloved, glorify, ascribe glory, praise, honor, confession, and worship to the Father and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, now and at all times and forever. Amen. One last thing, please also don't forget to rate and review this podcast and share with your friends and family. If you'd like to suggest future episodes or give us detailed feedback, please visit the link in the description or on our Instagram, linktr.ee/double-edged sword. God bless you all.